News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just got a text from Allie, one of our listeners who's been on several times, cracks me up. She basically thanked me for the, oh Lord, Allie, this is awful. She's texted me a link to the Babylon Bee. She said, you know, basically she complimented the monologue just then. And then she texted me the link to the Babylon Bee, which has the 10 manliest gifts for Father's Day, which include things like I see a pregnant Ken doll. And, oh, God, this is awful. Anyway, thank you, Allie. Appreciate it very much. And by the way, that book that I mentioned a moment ago, it's called Warrior by Lance Ingram. Lance Ingram, he's actually from Birmingham. I actually found it in the Church of the Highlands bookshop. But anyway, he appears on Rick and Bubba quite often. And anyway, Lance Ingram, the book is called Warrior, if you want to read it. I got a caller on line four. Let me grab that real quick. Sparky from Harvest. Sparky, how you doing today, bud?
Hey, Phil. Enjoyed the monologue.
Thanks, man.
I find it so incredibly ironic that the movement to inculcate even the military, let alone common American society, with the woke nonsense, the celebration of transgenderism, the emasculating and gelding of men as a cultural attitude, it comes, you know, from the New York elite, the Hollywood elite. These are the people who turn around and make a fortune off of gun wielding.
Yes.
Masculine characters, you know, I'm not talking elderly stuff like Dirty Harry, but like John Wick and Jack Reacher, the entire Marvel Comics group, Top Gun Maverick, the blockbuster. These are very masculine. What's the message they're trying to give to people when they want to push the society and even the military in one fantasy direction, in my opinion, a minority opinion direction, and then make a fortune off of bolstering hypermasculinity in what that which is making them millions of dollars. I can't
you're
reconcile
exactly
it.
Right.
It's just hypocrisy.
Well, there is no reconciling it. And what's interesting too is if you watch, I guarantee you, if they had tried to come out with Top Gun and say that Tom Cruise's character was now non-binary and he was a pregnant male, that movie would have flopped. But
right.
people don't rush to they don't become inspired. They don't go to the movie to enjoy that kind of woke crap. And they know that. And so they make movies that they know that the culture identifies with, but they push something entirely different in outside the theater. And you're right.
Well, and when you think about it, what's the military going to do? What are the war fighters within the military going to do? They're going to attend more classes on cultural sensitivity. They're going to roll their eyes like they have on all of that, which they've been forced to listen to before. But they're not really going to change anything. The military's position on transgender isn't a moral judgment. It's the military doesn't want to take on people who have mental and emotional problems and are going to require expensive physical surgeries and problems. Who in the world would sign on for that? It's like telling an insurance company, you will take and cover people who are already terminally ill. You know, nobody would do that.
Yeah, it's exactly right, and I totally agree. And it degrades morale and combat effectiveness when you don't know what to expect from the person in the foxhole next to you.
That's
if that
understood.
Person will
absolutely.
Get in the foxhole. Yeah. Hey, Sparky, great call as always, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for being a part of the audience.
Thank you.
All right, and that's a great segue into what I'm going to be talking about here in just a minute. Number one of the Triple Dipper is Where Are the Warriors? So we'll be covering down some of the same things Sparky just said. It's almost like he read my notes, but I've got a whole stack of stuff here I couldn't get to yesterday. We're going to cover down on that. Also, I got to let you know, though, too, we have some breaking news. 1819 News was one of the first on the scene. I actually spoke to one of their reporters earlier, but there was a shooting right outside of a Gadsden elementary school, right there in northeast Alabama, Gadsden over in Etowah County, a shooting at Walnut Park Elementary. Now, it appears that there was an individual, a man, I don't know his methods or purposes, but he was going around the school trying to find doors that were open. He couldn't find one, but the principal was sharp enough to see this through a security camera or something, I don't know. And alerted the SRO who was on staff at the school. The SRO confronted the individual. It became an altercation. The SRO called for backup. There wound up becoming an officer-involved shooting, and my understanding is the perpetrator is dead. There may have been a minor injury on the part of the police officer, maybe from the scuffle, I don't know. But right now it appears that the only person who was truly harmed in this was, in fact, the perpetrator. Don't know any more than that, but like I said, officer involved shooting, Walnut Park Elementary, Gadsden, Alabama. But it sounds like that all of the security measures that are supposed to be in place were in place. And I applaud Superintendent Tony Reddick and the principal at Walnut Park Elementary and all the teachers who locked down the school, put the kids in a safe place, and did all the things you're supposed to do. And praise God. All right, well, if we have more on that, we'll talk to you about it in a bit. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. So glad to have a firsthand account from Will Blakely. He just literally left the scene and came by the studio. But yeah, that's an amazing thing. And Dale Jackson just tweeted out a little while ago that he's glad that this school had a school resource officer on campus. And yes, I am too. It was the school resource officer and the proper following of safety procedures by the school staff and faculty that made that come together in the right way, it sounds like. I mean, for what I gather, this is the outsider looking in without all the facts, and I know that. But for what I gather, it appears that external doors were locked. He couldn't just walk in, unannounced. An SRO was on duty. The principal locked down the school and issued an alert. An active shooter alert actually went out through the school's signal system, and backup officers were on the scene immediately upon call. And all that to say, it went the way you would hope it would go in a situation like this. I am going to go into my first topic of the Triple Dipper. I just feel like my time's all jacked up now, Copper. I'm like, I'm all over the place.
Good.
I'm going to have to work with it. But because coming up the top of the hour, we're going to wind up shifting gears. I'm going to wind up going into, I tell you what, let's do this. I may wind up holding off on Where Are the Warriors until after the next segment because I've got John Rogers coming in to talk about Alabama politics, and I hate to stop in the middle of talking about the Warriors and then go into Alabama politics. But I'm curious, Copper, your thoughts a minute ago. You wrote the word when I was doing my monologue on manhood is not disposable. It's amazing what modern culture wants to call disposable or no longer needed. But what were your thoughts on that? Because you wrote something up on the board when I was working.
I wrote, preach.
Preach.
But I think we get into a problem when humans try and pick and choose our definitions for what masculinity and femininity are. But that is defined by our creator, God. So it can be perverted by what humans want, and it can be perverted by what humans interpret scripture as being, but in the end, it's what God says that matters. So I feel like the best way to reaffirm masculinity and femininity is to look at the Bible and see, what does God value in people? Humble heart, dedication, loyalty, covenant keeping. I mean, so many things that liberals reject.
Yeah. Yeah. Well put. And like I tried to convey too, it's to some degree, I'm not just talking about biological manhood. I'm talking about the actual identity of manhood.
Yeah.
And the same would be true. And I'm also not at all saying that, women can't do the same jobs as men ever. No, that's not at all the case. Not at all. Now, I think there are times when you're going to find that the physiological structure of a man might make certain jobs easier, like being a fireman who has a minimum requirement of carrying something, carrying a body weight of a person up a ladder. There may be times when that comes into play. But for the most part, intellectually, emotionally, all those things, men and women can do the same jobs, but we shouldn't force the issue to the point of degrading the job itself just to say we did. That's the problem we see oftentimes too.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not a problem with saying there's differences between men and women. There's not a problem with saying men are stronger than women. It gets to a problem if you degrade women because they're weaker. But just saying a man is stronger and lifting them up into positions where they can use that is not insulting to women.
Yeah, and I would hope too. I mean, you tell me what you think about. Okay, so you're obviously you have a younger generation than me, but yep. I would ask you, is there anything wrong with the age old concepts of respect, like opening the door for a woman? Do you see any issue there with calling the man the spiritual leader of the household, that kind of thing? Does that bother you? Does that rub you wrong?
No, it doesn't. I mean, opening the door for, I've never understood why feminists get mad about that. I mean, I can understand a little more why people wouldn't emotionally like having one spouse be the leader, but I believe it. And again, it comes down to what God says. And people make mistakes, they hurt each other, but God desired something good for us. So even if we don't do it well in this broken world, He still desired something good for us. We might not understand it fully yet, but we can trust.
Yeah, and I don't think any household, I don't think we're ever saying that being a head of a household means that everybody else is subservient to the master of the house. That's not what we're saying, not at all. I mean, Charlene and I are equal in our decision makings. We spend, I mean, I don't know that I spend, I can't even go out to lunch without feeling like I need to tell her that I just, you know, bought a burger. It's just, but that's because it's a mutual respect thing. It's a desire to make sure that we share the burdens and the responsibilities and the joys of having a household. But yeah, it's just amazing to me. But that thing that I read this morning in the book Warrior, it just really struck me when it said that in the modern age, too often the concept of manhood has become a disposable thing. You can get rid of it if you want to. You can just chunk it. It's not necessary. It is necessary. So,
indeed.
I'm gonna stay with that concept. And if somebody's offended by that, well, too bad for their luck. I'm gonna keep on offending. We got plenty more to come on this topic, though. Not the least of which is what that kind of thing does to the military. I've got an article that we'll get into once I get to that section, because we are going right after the top of the hour. We're going to go to the phones and start talking politics with my friend John Rogers. But we're going to come back to this because it's too important not to cover down on things that are happening in our military. Like, I'll cover it in detail, but I've got one article off the military.com, militarytimes.com, talking about how there are troops who believe that literally what we're seeing is the denial of religious accommodations for COVID vaccines is, in their words, a religious purge of the ranks. That's an interesting concept, and it also makes you wonder, why would there be such a mass denial? I mean, literally, that's what we're looking at, mass denials of requests for religious accommodations. I've got another article here written by a guy who's a former Marine on townhall.com, and the title of it is Pure Politics is Feminizing the Marine Corps. He talks about the fact that there is such a thing as male bonding. In fact, let me read this quote as we go toward the top of the hour. In that particular article from townhall.com about feminizing of the military, he quotes former Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Robert H. Barrow, back in 1991 when he told a Senate Armed Services Committee that having women serving combat units might open the door to destroying the Marine Corps as we've known it, especially in conventional wars. This is his quote. He says, it's not very popular. He said, I know it's very popular to ridicule something called male bonding, but it's real, said Barrow, who commanded troops in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. He says, one has to experience it to understand it. It doesn't lend itself to easy explanations. It's cohesiveness. It's mutual respect and admiration. It's one for all and all for one. It's believing as a unit that no one else can do what this unit's being asked to do. He said, perhaps Shakespeare said it best of all, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers. So that's what it is. And that's a quote from the former Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Barrow, who some will say, oh, he's this old school, he's stuck in his ways, he can't. Yeah, is there a place for women in the Marine Corps? Certainly. It does not mean that you mandate that every job has to have gender diversity, because at that point you're forcing an idea more than you're forcing the concepts of combat effectiveness. The number one thing is that our military be able to win wars and keep the peace, kill people and break things. Or like the sign that I used to have on the wall of my team room, it said, win friends and kill enemies. That's what you've got to be able to do. And if you're so intent upon forcing an agenda that you water down the combat effectiveness, then what you really said is the mission of the military is less important than that we make it look like we want it to look. That's what's happening. I guarantee you, our enemies on the world stage, they don't feel that way. What they're looking at is lethality. What they're looking at is combat effectiveness. What they're looking at is the ability to make the mission happen at our expense. And that's what is not happening right now too often with woke leadership using the military as a petri dish from which they can grow their social experiments. I'm on fire today. All right, listen, we're coming back in a minute. We're switching gears. I will come back to the military thing. It's where are the warriors? We had to pause for that breaking news out of Gadsden. But I will come back to that later on the show. Next up, we got my friend John Rogers, who is with Signal, one of the major polling institutions here in the United States. It was founded in Alabama, actually. And we're going to talk about recent polling in state races. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.